Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Katrina Cartwright, Education and Outreach Manager at the NAGB, standing in for your regular host, Amanda Colson, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can take us with you when you're on the move or traveling in foreign lands by live streaming us at www.guardiantalkradio.com or by downloading the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store. So tonight in the studio with me, we have Dr. Craig Smith from English Studies at UB. Mm-hmm. We have two students, one from the Architecture Department, Cade Darling, and an education major, Derica Ferguson, and they are here in the studio with us tonight talking about the University of the Bahamas Theater Company. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking a bit about this in our last segment. It's all really, really exciting. I'm so happy to hear that this is happening at the UB, you know, that there's now a minor in drama.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that there's actually going to be a production of the Colored Museum. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know this particular performance. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been many black focused performances, plays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Written in over the past decades. I mean, and mm-hmm. of course, many of them end up being very political, very social.
Yes.
Because of the challenges that black people experience in the spaces that they exist in.
Yes.
Right? That we exist
Correct.
In.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us more about the Colored Museum. What is it?
All right, so the Colored Museum first performed in 1986, written by George C. Wolfe, and it was performed on Broadway. So the Colored Museum is an exploration, a celebration, and a critique of black culture, black experience, or mm-hmm. specifically African-American. But again, I think that the themes are universal. And so across the black diaspora, I think a lot of the issues that are raised in the play are issues that we all deal with, regardless right. of where we are mm-hmm. In the world. And so the play is made up of 11 vignettes or short pieces, and each piece sort of speaks to some aspect of the black experience. And so you have one vignette that sort of speaks to the idea of black hair. And, you know, this is something that we're still talking about.
Yes.
Curly hair versus straight hair and so on and so yes. forth. The one piece talks about that. You have another piece that sort of, or a couple pieces that speak to the journey of blacks in the New World from slavery throughout American history and so on and so forth to the present day. You have issues of, you know, this idea of self-acceptance and identity and what it means to be a black person, a black mm-hmm. man specifically mm-hmm. in the world today, and what one has to do in order to survive.
Right.
And again, I think that a lot of the issues are very timely with the Black Lives Matter movement and the Me Too movement and all these issues, right? Gay rights, all those things are things that sort of appear subtly in the Colored Museum. It's also a critique of the ways in which black identity and black lives have been portrayed throughout media by black people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that you're saying that you guys are going to show the Sidney Poitier A Raisin in the Sun,
yeah.
because one of the vignettes is actually a sort of critique of A Raisin in the Sun, the
really?
Play. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's also a critique of for colored girls who've considered suicide, if mm-hmm. folks know that play as
yeah.
well. And so, and also in the same play,
however,
it's,
I will insert that
yes.
is an amazing play. If you have not seen it, you should.
Yes. Yeah. No. They're awesome. They're awesome plays. But I think one of the things that happens when there is a successful representation of the black experience in theater, and this mm-hmm. is what Wolf was writing about, right? That's all people want to see. Yeah. And so The Raisin in the Sun, the first play written by a black woman to be on Broadway, right? That was all the rage. And so that's what everyone wanted. They wanted these stock characters over and over and over again.
Well, they want to pigeonhole you, right?
Exactly.
Like you have to fit into a box.
Yes.
Like you can't, if you don't fit into this box, then you're not accepted.
Exactly. Yeah. Or that's not what it means to be black, because yeah. it's not this one thing.
Because people aren't just regular people.
Exactly. right? And so the colored and then so for colored girls sort yeah. of came and sort of rocked the paradigm and said, hey, this is a different way of thinking about right. the black experience. Mm-hmm. As well, which was great, but then that was the thing that people wanted. Right. And so when Wolf came and he's like, okay, yes, these things are great, but this isn't the end all be all of the black experience. And so again, the Last Mama on the Couch play, which that vignette is called, sort of takes to task that representation in media, in theater specifically, right. of, you know, the black experience and what's expected in theater in terms of black people and black performance.
Wow, that is
yeah. So it's
that is like that's intense.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think that this play is great. It's political. It's funny. It's reflective. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not just a sort of, you know, the evil white man too. It holds black people accountable as well in terms of, again, how we represent ourselves. And so one piece, the photo session, actually speaks to, again, our self representation and how we represent ourselves. Mm-hmm. And how that might be problematic as well today in the Instagram, social media, live wives from Atlanta, whatever, this sort of, you know, where we represent the black experience in what could be a problematic wake, right? Mm-hmm. Sort of speaks to that. But these guys are in those, so they can talk a little bit about. And I thought it was interesting too, because again, as young folks, like, mm-hmm. what do they make of this stuff in the play?
Well, I also would say too is that, you know, as Bahamians, we tend to adopt American culture when it's convenient for us.
Yes.
And when it's not convenient, we say, well, that's not us. Mm-hmm. But it's important to remember that many of the issues that you brought up that are discussed in this mm-hmm. play are ones that we deal with all the time. I mean, we think about the, was it Protect the Puff?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Movement yeah. that happened a yes. few years ago yeah. with the young
high
girl,
school girl
who
yeah.
went
yeah.
to school with mm-hmm. her hair pulled back in one. She yes. just happened to have an afro. So instead of it being a
slick down
ponytail, mm-hmm. it was puffy. And she was sent home for that, which was something that was ridiculous.
Right.
I still consider it ridiculous because no one should be persecuted because of the texture of your hair. That's correct. What you were born with.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to ask any individual to change the texture of their hair means that you are actually forcing them to be something that they're not mm-hmm. to fit within your idea of what is acceptable.
Right. And where did we get those ideas?
And where did you get those ideas from? And the problem, and what becomes problematic is that your idea of acceptable aligns with what's considered beautiful and or acceptable in white culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I hate to use that word white culture, but
right.
I think that's the only way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this idea that people with straight hair or like silky, curly hair mm-hmm. have the most acceptable kinds of hair, and anybody who doesn't have that kind of hair doesn't fit within that box. Anyway, mm-hmm. you can see that was a peeve of mine.
Indeed.
That was a real peeve, and I was so disappointed when I heard it, and yeah. I was so happy that that was a movement that took off around the country mm-hmm. and around the world.
Yeah,
but it's taken off. But what's like so? But what has happened? Right?
Yeah.
Has anything changed, yeah. or have we stopped having the conversation?
Well,
and what I like about yeah. theater as well is, again, it forces us to have these conversations. A lot of times we go into the theater, and again, something may be funny, mm-hmm. and the piece, hair piece that actually engages that conversation, it's funny, but it really does. Force us to think about our ideas. And again, what I like about this piece, it's not necessarily, it doesn't say specifically that, oh, you're following a Eurocentric idea of beauty. Mm-hmm. Because again, we've internalized that to some extent as well. And so
yep.
at some point, you know, we have to examine our own ideas about what hair means. And this piece, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
So again, we think about an afro in a particular way. And we think about straight hair in a particular way. And, you know, there are many black people who are born with naturally straight and long hair as well. And so that's a part of the conversation that we have to have. We have all textures of hair. But again, with how we politicize that hair and how we think about the hair and what it means mm-hmm. for us. Because again, too, even in the conversation, and I'm going to give you guys a chance, sorry, even in the conversation about weaves and wigs and so on and so forth, I think that the conversation so long has just been this one thing. Oh, because you're wearing a weave or a wig, you don't like yourself or you're buying into European standards of beauty. But that's not necessarily the case. And I think that we have to have nuanced conversations at this point because times have changed and ideas have changed. And so someone may just be wearing a wig because they feel lazy today and they feel like combing their hair, which, you know, may have other issues. But at the same time, when we see that person as especially as woke black folk, right? Mm-hmm. We already categorize them in a particular kind of way. Or we see someone who happened to have locks and we think of them in a particular way. And it's like, no, that may not necessarily be
but,
who they
but
are.
But like you said, that also speaks to our own but conversations that need to be had.
Yes.
That are not being had in our own, the way we have been socialized.
Yes.
To not appreciate and accept who we are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. In all of our forms and various
and
ways
forms.
And ways yeah. of representing
so
as well.
And you're just reading through it and you're looking at these things. And I could really recall, like, just reading through it. It was fine. It was cool. But then afterwards, we were told to, you know, I guess a little acting trick. We were told to, you know, go and see what character, you know, that you would want, you know, which kind of speaks to you, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it kind of made all us, you know, go back and just read through it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading through it again, and, like, it wasn't the character that I was feeling, but I remember there was a particular line in one of them, and it was talking about just, like, characteristics of black people indirectly,
mm-hmm.
and it was a line where we were saying, every shade in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, every shade in between. And, like, that line right there was, like, really made me, it's things that we don't really think about that much,
mm-hmm.
but it's so crazy how, like, in my head when I read that, how our race is so, the black race is so diverse, mm-hmm. beautifully.
Well, also remember that race is a social construct. It doesn't actually exist scientifically.
But yeah, like, they at the Colored Museum, really, as young people, I'd say for me, we tend to kind of, like, go with the flow a little bit, so we kind of mm-hmm. forget about where we came from a lot of times, like, mm-hmm. honestly, mm-hmm. like, it's
stuck in the present.
Yeah, so, and we'd be like, oh, it's 2019, you know,
yeah.
We don't have no, like big segregation. That's like, you think these things and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay. But this production, the Colored Museum, really helped. I know me personally,
mm-hmm.
really think about what my ancestors really did,
mm-hmm.
what they went through, and how think good things are now because of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
we
forget about these things.
But and mm-hmm. also the fact that just
they're
you
turning.
The fight doesn't stop.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just they did a lot, but things are still aren't the way they should be.
Right,
and that means that
we have a job.
We have
mm-hmm.
a job
to do.
Mm-hmm. To continue that work to get to a point where we are living in a society where there is equality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, across the board. Regardless of race, gender, you know, social status, so on. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
that is an ongoing...
Yeah.
That's an ongoing journey. I don't think it's ever going to end.
No.
Derica.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what to say after all of that. That was like a mouthful. I'm like, can't say it all.
But
you
can't
no,
speak for
I
you.
Do, like, no, but I literally do agree with him. My mm-hmm. experience coming in with the Colored Museum and stuff like that... specifically with the read alouds that we did, because
yeah.
it did cause you to self-reflect beyond us having to go home and find out
mm-hmm.
which character connects with us.
Mm-hmm.
We had to do that. And so I think, like with me in the past, when I did certain characters in plays, like at church, it was always opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a field day because Dorica wasn't Dorica. Dorica was playing someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized, like, with the two roles that I'm playing, I sort of see myself in those roles, which sort of helped me to connect with better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's different, but it's still necessary and needed. Because remember
mm-hmm.
you said a lot of times we look at a certain thing, but we don't take responsibility about where we're at and
yeah.
how we can continue on the journey and fight for things to be better. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think like being a part of the Colored Museum is our little way of it's like our little voice. even though we're not ourselves and we're other characters, it's like our little voice of saying, you know, this is what's going on, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
See, help people to see it from a different standpoint.
And that's what theater is, and that's what theater does, right? Theater is supposed to reflect, you know, and get us to think about where we are and how we see certain things mm-hmm. in the world mm-hmm. and ourselves in the world. And again, I really like the fact that the Color Museum offers us so many vignettes, so many different ways to think about our experience. And again, it's not just for people of color. This is a production that's open to everyone. And again, mm-hmm. we want to engage conversation. And as a matter of fact, so just to let folks know, the show runs from the 25th until the 25th of February until March 3rd. Mm-hmm. So the Monday and Wednesday and Thursday mornings, 11 to 1, we're mounting shows for high school students.
Okay.
For Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 to 4 p.m. Are specifically for UB students, mm-hmm. but of course open to everyone. Mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the general public. Friday's show will be at the PAC. The shows from Monday to Friday will be at the PAC on campus. Mm-hmm. On Saturday and Sunday, the shows are going to be at the Black Box at the Dundas. We're in a MOU, a partnership with the Dundas, and so we're going to do two shows there as well. Mm-hmm. And so folks can come on campus during the day or Friday evening to see the show, and then on the weekend at the Black Box as well.
And how much are the tickets?
Tickets for UB students, because again, it's a UB production, and you know, our students don't have a whole lot of money. So UB students are just $5. Mm-hmm. For high school students, it's $10 for high school students. And then for the general public, tickets are $30.
Okay.
Which is very, very, very inexpensive. And I want to say that because, again, I've heard so far folks are, why is it so expensive? And I'm thinking, how is $30 expensive? The Fusion complex that was built up the road, which is great. I've been there a couple of times and yeah. I love it. But tickets there for film are like $30. If you go into the special 4X room or whatever, it goes up. And then you buy dinner and it goes up and
well,
whatever.
Well,
and
the
so,
other thing too is mm-hmm. that when you think about the cost of putting on production.
Yes,
and that's
exactly.
the other thing too we have to keep in mind is that it's not just a group of people coming together and
yes.
going up on stage and doing whatever they want. Like, this takes time mm-hmm. and effort and energy and lots of dedication and months of practice. And there's a cost associated for
definitely.
Materials, mm-hmm. for stage, and you know, and even though mm-hmm. many of the actors are not professional,
mm-hmm.
that still doesn't mean they don't deserve to get paid for their time.
Exactly.
Because mm-hmm. we have to, like I said, and like we had discussed, this is a career.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So everybody's what they have to offer, what they're giving you,
mm-hmm.
their performance, it has value.
Right.
And this is a way to show that you support what these young people are doing.
And again, a lot of times I get in these conversations a lot of times with people who say, the Bahamas don't have no culture, we don't have any culture, or alternately, there's nothing to do in Nassau, it's so boring. there's a lot to do. And I do want to say thank you for the annual fund at University of the Bahamas has given a lot of money to help us out. But we definitely want folks to come out and to help us to make this production successful. And we are going to have productions every spring, every summer, and every fall.
Oh,
and so
goodness.
For more information, we do have a Facebook page, so folks can go on Facebook to UB Theater Company for more information, or to contact any of us if they want more information.
Oh, that's all super exciting. Thank you so much. I mean, this has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you, Craig, Kate, and Derica.
You're welcome.
And thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to listen to us. We are so excited about everything that's happening with the Junkanoo Art and Music Festival and with the UB Theater Company. Make sure you check out all of these events. Make sure you go online and look them up and plan to attend. Thank you for listening in. You've been listening to Blind Canvas on 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. And thank you so much for listening, and good night.